Alex?
What?
I can't see Tom anywhere.
He ain't gonna come.
I can't even see any lights in there. What are you doing?
I've got some cutters here somewhere.
What for?
Laws, woman, we've broken.
Alex, wait. What the hell were you doing with cutters in your bag anyway?
Look, the way I see it, we need our report.
Let's wait for Tom.
When did the birds be?
He'll be here any minute.
He was meant to be here half an hour ago.
Why hasn't he come?
Who knows? But he hasn't. And since he hasn't, we haven't got much choice. We either go away empty-handed, or else...
end up in jail.
I'll be out before anyone knows I'm in there.
You're not going to leave me here on my own.
Then come on with me.
I'm frightened.
Don't be frightened.
Why don't I call Alice and see if Tom's there?
If you like.
Something seriously strange has happened in my life. Perhaps I'm dreaming. Perhaps I'm really still asleep in London, in our flat in Stoke Newington. In a minute, I'll reach out my hand and find that Dean is in bed beside me.
What kind of a day is it?
It's unreal.
Come back to the bed.
Dean, I can't.
Why not?
Because someone has fast-forwarded my life.
Because I've got my interview today at the Environment Agency.
Only this time, they'll turn me down because I haven't had enough experience.
You've got loads of experience. You're a qualified scientist.
Oh, I'm fine with the science, identifying contaminants, all that stuff. It's the breaking and entering. I know people do it all the time, but I'm just not used to it. Perhaps it's just a strange local habit round here, chucking bricks through people's windows. That was the point things started going haywire, when someone chucked that brick through the Environment Agency window. Up to then, I was just doing a job. I was even enjoying it. I had my eyes down on the lab bench, and I was perfectly happy. Checking the figures.
1, 6, 5, 0.8, 3.
Near as done it. Against the facts.
Perchloroethene. It's got to be.
Trying to make sense of the fact that Alice and Tom's water is contaminated with a chemical that's used in a factory 5 miles away. And that's when it started. Pathological window smashing. Confusing intimacy with a near stranger.
I brought you some brandy, in case you need it.
And a conspicuous attempt on my innocent life.
Laura, look out!
Out of the window came forth glass. Out of order came forth chaos.
Plumber, Mac, it's everywhere.
Oh, Alex, I'm really sorry to drag you out.
What's the problem? We should call the police.
They're on their way.
And what about Stone?
I left a message on his answer phone, and then I called Alice, and, well, she couldn't leave Sophie.
So why was the last resort?
Alice said you wouldn't mind.
Of course I don't mind. Come here. Sit down.
I think I'd better walk.
What? Careful.
Something about the way he supports me with his arm is familiar. And then I remember that evening in London.
At the Millennium Lounge?
You held my arm.
It looked like you were going to fall.
It was a bad night for me.
But
you're okay now?
I'm shivering. Is it cold in here?
I brought you some brandy, in case you need it.
God, what a mess. Do you think we should clear up?
Let's wait till the police have been. Here.
Thanks. Oh, that's better.
Magic potion.
How come you were here so late?
I was just rerunning that test.
Oh. Is this a machine? Very impressive.
It's just a mass spectrometer.
How does it work?
Well, you put your sample in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This bit's called a gas chromatograph. It separates out the different compounds.
Whatever's in the sample.
Yes. Then you fragment each compound in turn by blasting it with electrons.
Sounds violent.
Yes, well, it is if you're a molecule.
What happens to the fragments?
They get attracted to the electron multiplier.
Lucky electron multiplier.
Lucky us. Because it tells us exactly what fragments we've got.
Blasted, it's complicated. And then you have to piece together what the compound was you started with.
Fortunately, the computer does a lot of that for us. Here's what you get. It's called a mass spectrum.
How do we know what chemical it is?
Well, you check your spectrum against known chemicals. Here's the mass spec for PCA. Look at the two of them, side by side.
They seem pretty similar.
They're identical.
So that basically confirms it. Alice and Tom have got PCE in their water supply.
Yeah, so all we've got to do now is figure out how.
We know they use it where Tom works.
We also know there was a spill there.
What's it used for?
Well, dry cleaning, fabric finishing. You don't think it was Tom who chucked that brick through the window?
No way.
He got so mad when I mentioned PCE.
Of course he did. It was like you were saying he poisoned his own family.
Oh, I didn't say he'd done
it. But he would have taken it that way because of the PCE spill at the factory.
Suppose he did bring some of it home and it accidentally got into the well.
How could we tell?
Well, if it was a surface spill directly into the well, it should evaporate and the contamination level would fall off quite quickly.
Right. That would be quite good news.
Yeah, it would still be a while before they could use the water. The legal limit's pretty strict.
What is the legal limit?
Anything over 10 micrograms per litre and the water's classified as unwholesome.
And what's the concentration at the moment?
Well, have a look at this printout.
How can I tell?
You have to check the height of the spike here.
I see.
It's in micrograms per litre.
Something over 200. 200? Oh, I'm sorry. So it's... it's got a long way to fall.
It would take a while.
And what if it wasn't a surface spill?
Then somehow PC must be getting into the source.
How could it do that?
Through the ground somewhere.
Does it occur naturally, this PCE?
Oh, no, it's completely artificial. Almost all organochlorines are.
And the only factory within striking distance is the one where Tom works.
And we know they had a spill.
But that was 18 months. Well, 2 years ago.
Where else would it come from?
No, but is it possible? I mean, is it likely that a chemical spill 5 miles away could still be polluting the water 2 years later?
I guess that depends.
On what?
Hydrogeological factors, mainly.
Such as?
Catchment area for the borehole. What the hydrology's like up catchment from the well, what it's like down catchment from the factory.
How would we find out all that?
Oh, I was hoping Stone could help us. Where is he when you need him?
Where are the police when you need them?
Yeah.
Did you expect all this when you came up here?
God, I didn't know what to expect. Now that I'm here, I know even less. Everything's changing around me.
It's quite a culture shock moving up from London.
I love this place. And I enjoy the work. It's just that I've lost my bearings a bit.
And then they start chucking bricks through the window at you.
Exactly. It's unnerving. I feel unnerved.
I'm not surprised.
Normally, I guess I'd have Dean to talk to.
How long have you two been together?
6 years. God, almost seven.
Why aren't you married?
I don't know. Maybe we didn't quite trust it.
Didn't trust what?
The relationship. Each other.
You don't have to talk about it.
Oh, I'm actually quite glad to talk about
then
it.
Talk away.
Alex, I hardly know you.
Oh, I'm just your average psychopath with skeletons in every closet.
I care for that much.
Between me and the vandals, you're in pretty good hands. Mm.
That night, when you spoke to me...
At the Millennium Lounge.
Why did you speak to me?
It's difficult to explain.
Perfect timing. Just coming!
I'll tell you another time.
I'll hold you to that. What's going on here? It's difficult to tell. What we need is a mood spectrometer. Excite a situation in a discharge tube and analyze the spectrum of emotions. If only we could. And then again, perhaps we're better off not knowing.
Well, well. You scientists certainly know how to make a mess. I'm Detective Sergeant Denham. This is WPC Klein.
Laura McLaren.
Hello.
Pleased to meet you.
And this is...
Alex Sawyer.
You work here, Mr. Sawyer?
No, I'm just a friend.
I called Mr. Sawyer when it happened. I didn't want to be here on my own.
No, I can see you wouldn't.
And this is the window.
Well, what's left of it?
Not much, really.
Well, it depends if you have to clear it up or not.
Suppose that's true. You don't happen to know where the projectile went?
Yes, sir.
A brick.
Half a brick?
Red brick, part thereof, somewhat worn. No particular distinguishing features. Any idea who might have done this?
None at all.
Not really.
Was anything taken?
You think they were burglars?
Well, getting more of it round here. Computer theft, mainly.
Did you catch sight of the perpetrators, ma'am?
I saw a man getting into a car, and the car drove off.
Could you describe this man?
I'm sorry, there were no lights on.
The car had no lights?
No, they weren't turned on.
I see.
What about the window?
Ought to be boarded up, at least for now. Or you could get an emergency glazier out.
I expect they could sort something out. Just for the night.
I expect you could, Alex. Knowing your talent for improvisation. You probably came prepared with tools in your duffel bag, just in case. A bit of boarding up, a bit of breaking in.
Alex! Alex! Where are you?
The night has turned colder. And I'm still waiting by the hole in the fence at East Coast Textiles. How long has Alex been in there? 15 minutes already. I can't figure out what's taking him so long. But if he doesn't come back out here soon, I'm going in there after him. Crime or no crime. Either that, or I'm leaving. Going home to my bed to dream of my old life. The one where I knew who I was and what I'm doing in the world. I am walking behind Dean up a long, dark hill. The ground is as black as peat and squelches softly. I'm out of breath.
Dean!
He doesn't hear me.
Oh. Dean, wake a bit!
Each time I think we've reached the top, the ground just goes on rising, which is strange because I'm sure that we're in Norfolk. He won't wait. He won't turn back. He's getting more and more distant, and I am sinking deeper in the mud.
I have to stop.
Almost as soon as I've admitted it, I feel the mud engulfing me. But to my surprise, it's warm inside. A deep, soothing warmth that spreads all over me. I feel at peace. I know it's going to be all right. I can sleep at last.
Am I disturbing you?
What?
Laura, sorry, I didn't mean to wake you.
Oh, Alex. Oh, what time is it?
About 3:30.
In the morning?
Howard Stone's here.
Right. Oh, did you fix the window?
Temporarily. They'll have to get the glazes out tomorrow. There's some coffee out here if you want some.
I'd run barefoot over hot coals for it.
Well, young lady, you've been busy in my absence.
Oh, I'm sorry about the mess.
Oh, I'm just glad there was someone here.
I called you as soon as it happened.
What time was that?
Oh, about 10, maybe 10:30.
What were you doing still here at 10:30?
I reran the mass spec.
Oh, you didn't trust my work?
I thought maybe I'd got the samples contaminated or something. Tom Tibbett was so sure it couldn't be PCE, so I ran some new ones.
And what did you find?
Exactly what we found before. Perchloroethane at about 200 micrograms per litre.
Well, it's nice to know I'm not losing my touch.
Just your sleep.
Oh, sleep. Don't talk to me about sleep. I'm in bed by 10 and I get no sleep at all.
Oh, you're in bed already? Oh, I'm sorry.
Ah, we turned the sound down so it didn't wake us.
Well, how come you're here now?
Oh, I got your message when I woke up.
2 in the morning?
Yes, I never sleep beyond 2. Sometimes I'm in here by 5. There's nothing worse than lying in bed all night with no hope of sleep.
What do you do here at 5 in the morning?
Admin. Lovely admin. Occasionally I get some real work done.
And what kind of work is real work?
Well, my book. I'm writing a book.
What's it about?
Environmental management for the 21st century.
Would that be any different from what we do now?
It'll better be.
We do all right.
You're joking. Until we actually see the ozone layer disappear or the sea breaching a shingle bank at Salthouse Marsh, we don't even bother.
The sea's been breaching the shingle bank at Salthouse Marsh for decades, probably centuries. The whole of East Anglia was underwater once.
Of course it was, but it was a delicate freshwater ecosystem which supported tens of thousands of species, not a hodgepodge of drained down land with 100 weak spots and sea defence.
We've still got the Broads.
Until the conservation lobby loses its battle with the tourist industry.
Why should it?
Well, it's a matter of time unless something's done.
Well, if tourism doesn't work hand in hand with conservation, there won't be any Broads.
That's what I'm saying.
And then there won't be a tourist industry. It's in their own self-interest to prevent the damage.
And you think a couple of 100 private enterprises are going to stop and figure that one out?
So what's your answer?
Better regulation. Some kind of incentive to respect the environment. Bigger environmental penalties.
All right, little eco-fascist, aren't we?
Well, let's hear your big idea for the 21st century.
I've been in the Environment Agency since it was born, and before that I was 10 years in the National Rivers Authority. We're overworked and we're under-resourced. We haven't got a hope in hell of keeping up, even with the regulations that do exist, let alone your eco-fascist world.
So get resourced, prosecute some offenders, whop up the penalties. Make some of these people pay for the damage they're causing, even if it's only a tiny percentage of the profits. You could use the money to build up a stronger agency.
The courts set the penalties. The government decides how the money gets spent. We're tied to the Treasury.
So lobby Treasury. Make a bit of noise out there. Why not side up with some environmentalists?
And lose what little influence I have over corporate behaviour? No thanks.
Oh, come on, Howard. I just don't buy this crap about having more influence if you slip between the sheets with business. You think the public wants an environment agency without any teeth?
I think the public doesn't know what it wants.
They want a clean environment. They want to be able to drink the water that springs up on their land, and they want to be able to breathe the air around them without getting asthma.
Pollution isn't the only cause of asthma.
They want a world which doesn't hound every other species to oblivion.
Well, maybe they'd like to pay for it.
Maybe they would. Who knows?
Maybe they'd like to vote for a government who'll give us the money to protect it.
They vote for what's available.
They vote for lower taxes, less government intervention, greater security in their old age.
That's not true.
They'd much rather keep their jobs.
Of course they would.
And have money to burn on luxury consumables.
Oh, that's just cynical.
Excuse me.
You want to know what they want? Look at how they
Could
behave.
Could we just keep things...
Look at the things they spend their money
They're
on.
They're just trapped in a consumer nightmare.
And you're going to hustle them out of it?
Just hang on a minute.
What?
Why, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Do you think we could just calm down a bit, please?
Sorry.
Well, I've had a rough night.
Well, You see what I mean about the wee small hours?
They're a lot more exciting than I imagined they'd be.
It isn't usually as lively as this.
You ought to invite Alex round more often.
We already have an odd job, man.
Got any more damage you want me to repair?
Only my tottering ego.
I doubt he's equipped to salvage that. Something happens.
More coffee, either of you?
What are we doing here?
Why aren't we all at home in bed?
I know why I'm not home in bed.
In the middle of the night, in the middle of adversity, without any warning, something happens. Some trick of the light has made us all appear more human.
When I couldn't sleep, I used to stand on my head.
Oh, great. Shape I'm in, it'd probably kill me.
Alex shows some understanding.
You're not in such bad shape.
Howard shows some vulnerability.
Oh, I don't know. The older I get, the less I know.
And as for me...
What are you smiling at?
I didn't know I was.
My life without Dean doesn't seem so bad.
She looks positively radiant, wouldn't you say, Howard?
I was just enjoying the spectacle.
What spectacle?
Well, you two, squaring up in the ring.
Well, I'm glad we entertained you.
Perhaps while we're all in the mood, we ought to think about Pertoroisi.
I was wondering if you remembered, Howard, about 2 years ago, there was an incident.
East Coast Textiles.
PCE got spilled at the Mulderwick plant.
A ton of the stuff got into the marsh before we could stop it.
Exactly.
We were wondering if the PCE could have got from there...
From the marsh?
Or from the soil round the factory.
Into the Tibbetts borehole.
Perchloroethane. Let's think about this. Yes, it's happened before.
What, a leak at the plant?
No, not there, somewhere else. PCE got spilled at a tannery. Ended up in a local borehole.
You're kidding.
How far away?
Somewhere in East Anglia.
No... How far away was the borehole from the leak?
A couple of miles, I think.
So it is possible.
Cambridge Water Company. They took the tannery to court.
What happened?
They lost the case.
Oh, typical.
But it was overturned by the Court of Appeal. Cambridge Water was awarded £1 million in damages.
God bless.
The tannery appealed to the House of Lords.
Oh, might have guessed.
And what did they say?
And they overruled the Court of Appeal.
They threw out the case?
No liability, no damages.
On what grounds?
If I remember rightly, they upheld the original judgment. The defendants couldn't reasonably have foreseen the damage. At the time the leaks occurred, the chemical wasn't even regulated.
But it is regulated now.
Mm. And they should have foreseen it this time, because they know it's happened before.
Oh, different geology, different hydrology.
But we know that in similar circumstances, PCE did leak from a factory into a borehole some distance away.
Which is why we asked the company to commission a follow-up report.
What follow-up report?
To investigate the potential for groundwater contamination.
And where is this report?
I'm not sure.
You must have seen it.
Oh, I must see. Something like 25, 30 reports a day. This was 2 years ago. 10,000, 15,000 reports ago.
Isn't it on file somewhere?
That's what I'm looking for, but I can't find it. It's possible. It hasn't reached us yet.
Why not?
Well, these things take time. In the real world, things take time.
And in the meantime, someone's drinking contaminated water.
We don't know that.
Excuse me, we do know that. You did the test yourself.
We know the water's contaminated. We don't know the contamination came from East Coast Textiles.
And we're not likely to find out unless we get hold of this report.
I'll talk nicely to the CEO.
Talk nicely?
What would you do?
I'd throw the bloody book at him.
Which just goes to prove that my way is better. If you went that route, it'd be months before you saw anything.
And you have these boys just begging to eat from the palm of your hand?
Well, let's just say I've more chance of getting this report my way than you do of getting it yours. I'll call Houghton in the morning.
Call who?
Robert Houghton. He's the CEO at Arcadian.
Arcadian Enterprises?
Yes.
What the hell have they got to do? Oh!
They own the company.
Arcadian owns East Coast Textiles.
They bought it out a few years ago.
Of course they did. Of course they do. They own practically everything around here.
That's not a crime.
But polluting the environment.
Now, hang on a minute.
This is brilliant. There is a God.
What's brilliant?
Alex, you need to keep this in perspective.
Oh, I'm keeping it in perspective.
You're blowing it out of all proportion.
I'm sorry.
I'm serious.
Would someone explain to me what's going on?
Arcadian Enterprises owns East Coast Textiles, which is responsible for polluting the Tibbetts borehole.
We still don't know that.
I still don't see that.
How do you think that little piece of news is going to go down with the council?
Why the council?
The planning committee. They're going to think twice about the Millennium Proposal with that little misdemeanor out in the open.
I thought we wanted the report because of Sophie.
We do. Yes, we do. Of course we do.
Don't tell me I didn't warn you about this, man.
But if it happens to show that Arcadian acted irresponsibly, then why not use it to our advantage?
I'll tell you why not. Because unless you give me your word of honour you won't abuse this information, I refuse point blank to help you.
You wouldn't do that. You're unbelievable.
On the contrary, I'm believable. Work with me on this and I'll do my best to support you. Go against me and you can swing in the breeze.
We need that report for Sophie's sake.
Tom lost his job because of that spill. Tom and Alice lost 5 acres of good farming.
This isn't the time or place to be laundering your dirty conscience.
This has nothing to do with my conscience.
Then let it go. Let me do this my way. I'll have that report on my desk by the end of the week, and I'll see to it it's acted on.
Oh, come on, Alex. You're tired.
I'm not tired.
Well, I'm shattered. You never did tell us your vision of environmental management in the 21st century, Howard.
No, I didn't, did I? Perhaps some other time.
Outside, the world is suddenly cold and grey. The fens hover bleakly beyond a veil of mist. The illusion of comfort has slipped imperceptibly away from us. Thanks for coming out to me.
Are you all right to drive?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Good.
Bye, then.
Bye. Laura.
Yes?
You know I want the best for Sophie, don't you?
I know you do, Alex.
Maybe...
Yes?
You'd like to have dinner with me. I mean, if...
I'd love to.
I've got a couple of pieces to write. Perhaps I could give you a call on a day, sir.
Of course. A fragment of goodwill slips back into place. But as I make my way home through the early dawn, I find myself yearning for warm, sweet darkness, for the dream to wash back over me. Nervousness in the pit of my stomach.
Am I too early? It's me! It's Laura!
It's not like I'm going on a date or something.
Will someone shut that dog up for crying out loud?
Oh!
Here, boy. Come here.
Hello. Is it 7 or
10? I'm a little bit early.
Sticks!
Oh,
don't let him pass you.
No, he's okay.
I've been trying to get Mark to take him out all afternoon, but he seems to disappear.
Oh, there you are.
You right, Dad?
Hello, Mark.
I thought I asked you to take sticks out.
He's only like this because you're here.
Don't listen to him.
Do you know how many decades that is since my dad had someone round here for tea?
Oh, I'm flattered.
And it's supper, not tea.
Excuse me. Come on, Sticks. We're off.
Where are you going?
Getting out of your way.
When are you coming back?
I'm going round Alice's for tea. Sorry, supper. I might go up the nest later, see if the chicks have hatched.
Don't take sticks up there or scare him to death.
He thinks I'm stupid.
I know you're not.
Do you want me to stay over, Dad?
Mark?
What?
You're not supposed to.
What?
Never mind.
I might stay over at Alice's.
For goodness sake, you do what you want. Just go.
First he wants me here, then he wants me gone. He can't make up his mind, that's the trouble.
Oi! Right,
Dad. I'll see you later.
Come on, Sticks.
Good boy.
Hey, he seems all right.
He's a pain in the neck.
Can I come aboard?
Of course you can. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm standing here like a cast in stone. Do you need a hand?
Oh, thanks.
Oh. You okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
Perhaps it's the motion of the boat. I tremble slightly as he touches me. I'm grateful he can't see my face as we go down the companionway. Confusion is making me light-headed. Or perhaps it's the gentle motion of the boat.
Sit down somewhere. Would you like a drink?
Oh, yes, please. What's all this?
Shove it out the way. What would you like?
Have you got a cold beer?
Coming up.
Is this for the paper?
It's next week's column.
Developed to death.
Yeah, working title. Light or heavy?
Oh, light, I think.
Bottle or glass?
Bottle's fine.
Here you go. Cheers.
Cheers.
You seen this one?
What's this?
From yesterday. Didn't make the front page, unfortunately, but I did manage to get a picture of a bit in it. There you go. So at least people will know what one looks like.
Arcadian preempts planning consent.
It's just a shot across the bows to let them know we're watching.
Is this about that enforcement notice?
Well, people ought to know what these guys are capable of, and it'll be another slug of ammunition for the planning committee.
When's the planning meeting?
Next week, Wednesday, I think.
Where are you going?
Are you kidding? The whole of my life for the last 6 months have been geared towards this.
What's going to happen there?
It's where the planning officer makes his recommendation.
About the proposal?
About whether to accept or reject it.
Who else will be there?
Your friend Lydia, no doubt.
Oh, how nice.
Councillors will ask a few questions.
Do you get to speak?
Me and the cohorts.
Who are the cohorts?
Different types. Local businesses who think this development will steal the trade.
Will it?
Oh, yes. It's the same story everywhere. Out-of-town retailers reaping quick profits while the local traders get squeezed to the wall.
Well, isn't the government changing that?
Well, they're making noises.
Who else is in this coalition?
It's a funny old mixture of staunch conservatives, left-wing radicals and the green lobby. Conservationists, as we get called round here. I think because it makes us sound like creationists.
What are creationists?
People who believe that God created the world in 7 days and Darwin was the devil.
Oh, right, so you're telling me it's used pejoratively?
By pro-development lobbies, yes. They're trying to make out we're anti-progress.
And are you?
Laura?
Well, I don't know.
Look at me.
Looking.
Do I look anti-progress to you?
Oh, on the face of it, yes, but, well, let's just examine the evidence here. You're a single parent.
It's a poor impression of parenthood.
You live on a converted bus.
It's a wherry, Your Honour.
You write for a local newspaper.
That factor should speak in my favour.
How come?
Everyone knows that. Rag is the mouthpiece of progress.
Is it?
It likes to think it is.
But in your case, we know for a fact that you're using it to stir up rebellion.
I'm providing a balance.
Against a lucrative development.
To the local debate.
And you have, furthermore, a seditious fondness for frail and helpless creatures.
I can't help it, Milan. It's something that just creeps over me.
I rest my case.
So, what's the verdict?
Guilty as charged. Does the accused have anything to say before sentence is passed?
Yes, Your Honour. I'd like to challenge the court to define the meaning of the term progress.
Oh, very clever. I submit that the defence is prevaricating.
On the contrary, it's the only relevant question.
So, how would you answer it?
I'd answer it by arguing that there is, in spite of everything, a kind of progress in which I do believe.
And what kind of progress is that?
The faltering progress of the human heart.
Very poetical. Towards what, may we inquire?
Towards decency.
Decency's good.
Humility in the face of nature.
Nature's frightening.
And compassion.
Compassion.
Towards those who share the world with us.
And this progress, as you call it, How will we recognise it when it comes?
By its smell.
Can you prescribe it?
Of course not.
Or measure it?
I doubt it.
Or guarantee policies that will deliver it?
Probably not.
Then I must conclude that you are, after all, against progress as we know and love it, and I have no alternative but to impose the maximum penalty commensurate with my powers at this time. It's happening.
Surely this punishment is too onerous, Your Honour.
That thing is happening again. It's just the lightest touch between our lips, and yet a kind of strength flows through it. A strength that makes me tremble.
How's Dean?
What?
How's Dean?
I thought that's what you said.
Have you seen him?
Alex?
I'm sorry. I'm kind of wondering...
What?
Where I stand.
Where you stand?
It's a long time since I've been through all this.
Or what?
Whatever it is we're doing.
He's been in London and he's coming back up to Norfolk.
When?
Tonight, apparently.
Does he still want you back?
So he says.
And do you want him?
Are you trying to confuse me?
It's a simple question.
Alex, I'm not playing games if that's what you think.
I know you're not.
I don't want Dean back.
Yeah, perhaps you should see him, though.
What for?
I don't know. Maybe it would help straighten things out.
I suppose.
And besides, Dean works for Arcadian, doesn't he?
You know he does.
He might be able to get that contamination report.
Alex!
What?
You're unbelievable.
I sometimes don't even believe myself.
We're in the middle of deciding whether to get involved with each other and...
Are we?
Aren't we?
Are we?
And all you can think about is sending me back to Dean to wangle a confidential report out of
him. Well, Howard hasn't come up with the goods.
Alex, that's not the point.
I know it's not the point, but what other options are there?
Well, don't you think we should separate out our work from what we feel emotionally?
Funnily enough, that's almost exactly what Howard said.
When?
When he said I was stalking you.
This is all very confusing. You mean that night in London?
At the Millennium launch, yes.
Was there something going on there that you haven't told me about?
Only in my mind.
And what was that something?
I like to think in my naive little way it was something to do with falling in love.
In London?
Yes.
In love?
Yes.
You'd only just met me.
Well, don't you believe it can happen that way?
I suppose.
If the conditions are right.
What conditions?
Wind speed, air temperature, barometric pressure.
Idiot.
All I mean is, you know, the fog, the cloud that Maddie left, that I kept trying to work through, suddenly lifted, and there, in the open air, that was when I saw you.
And what did you think?
I can't remember what I thought. I remember what I felt.
And what did you feel?
A thing I never expected to feel again.
Alex.
Laura?
Just hold me.
You're trembling.
I know.
It'll be all right.
I know. But listen.
What?
I don't want this to come out wrong.
Of course.
Mr. Lou.
Along the cabin toward the stern. First door on the left.
Anything to eat all day. It's because I had so little sleep the other night. It's because I'm in a strange place at a confusing time of my life. It's because that beer he gave me wasn't light at all. It was a vial of the most intoxicating liquor.
Something smells good.
I'd suspend judgment if I were you.
It's just so weird to think that night... It was one of the most miserable evenings of my life. I went home crying.
I packed my bags and I spent what seemed like hours arguing the toss with Dean about Lydia. When I left him, at 5 in the morning.
That's what I was saying.
What were you saying?
Air temperature, wind speed, barometric pressure.
This is going to be a crazy kind of life.
Dad! What the hell?
Dad, you gotta come quickly. Both of you. You gotta stop
him. Hey, steady on.
No, you gotta do something.
I'll do something, I promise. Now, just tell me what's happening.
Somebody out there.
Oh, where?
Near the Reavers, smashing about.
It's just so cruel.
I need to put some shoes on. Okay.
I'll get the car started.
Right.
It's a cruelty that springs from the hot, dry core of the planet that lies at the broken heart of the world. They had the whole thing wrong, those creationists. Darwin wasn't dangerous because he made us throw out Genesis. He was dangerous because he led us to accept a savage morality. The morality of violence over compassion, of force over fragility, of brute humanity above the helpless cry of the bittern. Dark and surprisingly cold. The sky is clear above us.
Come on! Be quick! We'll be too late!
I'm running along a dirt track in the middle of nowhere, and the ground is firm and dry beneath my feet. I want to be running faster, but there's a pain in my side which makes my breath come in short, sharp stabs.
Oh, wait a sec!
Go on ahead! I'll catch you up!
And then he stops ahead of us.
Dad! What is it? I can hear something.
We stop and listen.
What the hell is that?
But all I can hear is the blood in my ears and my brain.
He's coming this way!
And suddenly, now he's running back down the track towards
us. Look out! Look out! Get out of the way!
And behind him, now I hear it too.
Was trying to kill us.
Don't be ridiculous. He just didn't see us.
How could he not see us?
It's a narrow track.
He drove straight at us.
He had nowhere else to go.
How do you know it was a man?
A woman couldn't do a thing like that, would she?
I couldn't see a thing for the life.
Headlights. That proves it.
Doesn't prove anything.
Well, we'll soon find out.
Now let's get out of here.
But what about the nest?
Well, chances are they didn't find it.
What if they did?
Then there's nothing we can do.
But we can't just leave.
Now, Mark, don't argue with me.
I'm going on my own.
Now, we're going back to the car and we're going back now.
Why are you being like this?
Because he's worried.
Not that way. Let's cut across.
Because he thinks whoever was in that car was out to cause us damage. Not kill us necessarily, but certainly scare us badly. And if they did it once, who says they won't come back and try again? A silent tension suddenly fills the night. The sky, which was clear before, is full of clouds.
You don't think it was Tom, Alex?
No.
Think what was Tom?
That weren't Tom's car. Whose car's outside, Alex?
Oh, the doctor's here, upstairs with Sophie. Think what was Tom?
It's Sophie Bird.
Her breathing's poor. She's had that tingling again.
You're not drinking the water.
Oh, me and Sophie in?
It's Tom.
Who knows?
Does he still not believe it's contaminated?
I don't know what Tom believes.
But is he still angry?
Tom was born angry.
That ain't true, Alison. You know it.
Can I ask you a question, Laura?
Of course.
Well, this chemical we got, is it possible...
I mean, Tom works with this chemical, doesn't he?
He works in a place where they use it, yes.
What effect would it have on him if he was exposed to it over a long time?
I don't know. The same sorts of things that we found when we were looking before, I suppose. I mean, he'd be breathing it, not drinking it, so respiratory things, maybe irritations.
Irritability?
Oh, come on, Alice.
What?
Tom's got reasons enough to be irritable without blaming it on chemicals.
No, all I know is he never used to be like this.
Of course he didn't, but look what's happened. He was fired from his job, he lost half his land, he does shift work to keep his family alive, and now his daughter's sick and no one knows what's wrong.
But we do know what's wrong, thanks to Laura.
As far as Tom's concerned, that's even worse. Imagine how he feels, being told it's his fault Sophie's ill.
Who said that? We ain't said that.
In Tom's mind, that's exactly what we said. Even if he didn't physically cart the stuff home and accidentally drop it down a well, he was the one they held responsible for the spill at the plant 2 years ago.
But we knew it weren't his fault. It was the machinery. It was the management.
That's not the point. He was duty manager. He lost his job because of it.
It's a travesty what they've done to him.
The fact he can't even earn a decent living just makes it worse.
Were you saying I ought to go out to work?
No, I'm not saying that. Of course not.
Oh, I was quite happy working when we had the land.
Tom's the kind of man who believes it's his job to bring the money in. It's not you being at home that bothers him. He knows darn well kids need their mothers.
I'm going to go and see if Styx is all right.
Oh, God.
Where is he?
Out the back.
Mark, I'm sorry. Oh, blast, blast, blast. I'm just not thinking straight.
The trouble is, it's true.
I know it's true. He doesn't need reminding.
Oh, he'll get over it, Alex.
It didn't help that we had a fight.
What kind of fight? What about?
It wasn't really a fight.
I shouted at him.
Yeah, but you were worried.
I wanted us out of there before anyone came back.
Out of where? Before who came back?
Someone tried to run us down.
No, we don't know that.
They gave a pretty damn good impression of it.
Where'd this happen?
Over Warren Fen.
Near the Bitten's Nest.
By the development site.
Oh, Mark said he was going up there to see if the chicks had hatched.
Right, well, when he got up there, there was someone smashing about in the reed beds with a stick.
Do you think they found the nest?
Oh, I doubt it. You'd have to know where it is.
No, do you think they were trying to find the nest?
Maybe. Who knows?
Mark thinks they were.
This is exactly what I was frightened of.
What do you mean?
Oh, you don't think this is just a bit too much of a coincidence?
Is this today's?
Yesterday's.
Arcadian preempts planning consent.
I don't believe you're saying this.
Think about it, Alex. Just think about it.
You're saying someone's seen this and then deliberately gone up there to find the nest and smash it up?
Oh, there's even a picture. Look, just in case they didn't know what they were looking for. And all this stuff.
What stuff?
This article.
What about it?
That was red rag to a bull, Alex.
I'm only saying what needs to be said.
I don't understand who'd have done such a thing.
Arcadian, of course.
What?
Or someone associated with him. In some way.
Dean was coming up here tonight.
Your fiancé.
Dean wouldn't do a thing like that.
Like what? Like smashing up the nest? Or running you down?
He wouldn't have run us down.
It wasn't premeditated.
Well, that's comforting.
Maybe Dean saw you two together and got the wrong end of the stick. What? What have I said? Oh, have I said something wrong? I see. Oh, I'm going to check up on the doctor.
Do you think she's right?
About what?
About someone from Arcadian trying to find the nest because of your article.
It's possible.
Yeah, but they wouldn't seriously try and kill us.
People don't do things like that. How could they? It's too risky. Well,
people like us don't do things like that, but it does happen.
I can't believe it.
Maybe it was Dean getting hold of the wrong end of the stick.
If it was him, it wasn't the wrong end of the stick.
Alex.
What? You don't regret what's happened between us?
I don't think I know what's happened between us.
I think you do.
I regret not getting any supper.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I completely forgot. A young man.
I couldn't eat a thing. Hello, Styx. Hello.
You've got a friend there.
Is he all right?
You don't like being tied up. I'm going to take him for a walk.
Good idea.
Come on, boy. Come here.
What's that on your hand?
Nothing.
You got a test at school or something?
You writing on your hand again?
Someone's phone number, Mark? It's not a girlfriend, is it?
Registration number. I was trying to show you.
What registration number?
What do you think?
That car. It's not. It is! Ha! You're a genius.
No, I've got more wits about me than you two.
Show us what you got.
I didn't get all of it. That was an S reg. I'm pretty sure there's a 4 and a 3. Then I think that was PLO.
You know what Dean's registration is?
No. They just gave him a company car. I could find out.
I think that was black.
Oh, shut up. Most cars look black in the middle of the night.
Except white ones.
All right, well, that narrows down the field.
Oh, sod off. If you're so clever, you can get it yourself next time.
Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, Mark, I'm sorry. I'm not doing too well tonight.
It must be tough for you sometimes.
It's tough for us both. This is a time when he's supposed to flex his muscles and kick against me. Sometimes I watch him reining it in because he thinks I can't take it.
That sounds pretty mature.
He grew up quick because of, well, you know, Maddie.
How does Mark feel about her death?
No idea. Doesn't seem to be an issue. But maybe he's hiding it.
He seems pretty sound, though.
Yeah. Yes, he is. He's a good kid.
You want me to run you back to the wherry later?
I think I'll ask Alice if we can stay here tonight.
You don't think they'll come after you on the boat?
Oh, no, of course they won't. Well, I hope they won't. It's just I need to talk to Tom when he gets back.
What about?
Tom's the night watchman at East Coast Textiles.
I know.
So, think about it. We can't wait all year for Howard Stone's political manoeuvrings. We need to get hold of that report.
And you think Tom can get it for us?
There must be a copy of the plan. At any rate, it's worth a try. Just in case Dean won't play ball.
I'm still going to ask him. He owes me a favour.
He owes you a favour.
You're damn right.
When will you see him?
He wanted to meet tomorrow afternoon.
Good.
I'm not looking forward to it.
What sort of test?
Well, I just wanted to look at the lungs again, check there's no damage. And we'll do those blood tests. Oh, hello.
Hi. They're going to do the blood test. Good.
Could you remind me what this chemical is we're looking for?
It's called perchloroethene, PCE for short. It's an organochlorine.
Well, that should be enough to go on. We'll see if we can get the lab to run some tests over the weekend.
And when should I bring her in?
Right. I'm working late, so what about 5 o'clock? We'd like to keep her in, if possible.
Can I stay too?
Yes, yes, of course.
Okay, then.
Right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, right. Thank you. Bye then, Doctor.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, it's such a relief to know something's happening.
She'll be all right, Ali.
I hope so. How'd you get on with those other samples?
The concentration's staying pretty much the same, around 200 micrograms per litre.
So, what does that mean?
It's a bit too early to say, but it doesn't look good.
Why not?
It means the contamination's coming from the source rather than from a surface spill.
You mean it's coming from underground?
It's most likely there's PCE in the aquifer itself, in the underground reservoir that supplies your well.
And how do we get it out again?
Oh, Alice.
What?
It doesn't work like that.
Well, there must be some way. I mean, it got in there, didn't it?
Yes, but it got in there by soaking down through the ground until it got to the water that feeds your well.
So how do we get at that?
Well, we can't. Not really. There's no airflow, so it won't evaporate. I mean, you could put some kind of dispersant down there, but, well, you've got no idea if it'll get to the right place. You could end up doing more harm than good.
Are you saying our water's going to be like this forever?
No, not forever. Of course not. But the best you can do, really, is to hope that eventually it gets flushed out.
How long is eventually?
Well, it might happen quicker if there's lots of rain.
How long is eventually?
Could be years.
How many years?
I couldn't really tell you.
We can't do without water for years.
You'll have to get connected to the mains.
The mains? It's our water. Oh, this is awful.
Yes, it is.
It makes me so angry.
I know.
Tom's lost his job. We lost our land. Sophie's lost her health. And they won't even tell us what's going on.
Outside, as I leave, the wind's got up. The reeds sway and wrestle in an easterly gale. It seems like the whole night has inherited Alice's anger. It's wild and it's restless. and it's tired of being bullied and battered. And as I think of all the things that have happened here, I realise it's not just Alice's anger. It's mine as well. And it parades through the fens like an Amazon warrior, reckless, righteous, and dangerous. What are you doing back up here, Dean?
Just some business needs sorting out.
When did you get back? I tried to keep my face as still as possible, so as not to give anything away.
Last night?
What time? I scrutinised his face for signs of guilt.
Can't remember. About 9, I think. Why do you ask?
Or is he just playing poker, too?
No reason.
He's not exactly going to admit to running us down.
You seem kind of, different.
Different? How?
Why did you agree to see me?
Well, it's like you said, we've got stuff needs sorting out.
You didn't seem interested before.
No, I'm interested now.
You're not seeing someone else. You are.
Like who, for instance?
But I don't know, this Alex character.
If he is playing poker, he's a damn good player. But then,
Alex who?
So am I. Oh,
isn't that his name, this environmentalist I met at the agency?
Oh, right, Alex Sawyer. He's a journalist.
Whatever. God, I want you to come back, Laura.
Back to London? No way!
No, back to me.
So that you can go on cheating on me, no thanks.
I wouldn't go on cheating on you. We'd start all over. It would be like it used to be.
You wouldn't go on cheating on me?
No.
But you have been cheating on me.
Now you're twisting things.
Dean! Just save your breath. I'll cut you a deal.
What deal?
There's some information I need, which you may be able to help me with.
What information?
Well, there's a local family whose daughter is sick. We think it's because their water supply has been contaminated with a toxic chemical called perchloroethane.
Means nothing to me. I'm not a scientist.
We think the contamination comes from a spill 2 years ago at a local textiles plant, which is owned by Arcadian.
I can't possibly help you with this.
You don't even know what I want from you yet.
No, that's right, I don't. So what do you want from me?
Arcadian was supposed to commission a report into the environmental impacts from the spill. The agency asked them to do it.
So get the report from the agency.
They never received it.
You can't commission investigative action, carry out site tests and report on it all in the space of a week or so. I mean, these things take time.
2 years, Dean.
But you need experts. You need site visits. You need time.
I thought you weren't a scientist.
I'm not, of course. But I know it takes time.
How much time?
I couldn't possibly tell you.
Fine. Well, don't tell me. We can probably get the report from Tom in any case.
From who? Who's Tom?
Tom Tibbett. He works for East Coast Textiles. He's the little girl's father.
What little girl's father?
The little girl who's going into hospital this evening to see if she's got this stuff in her blood.
Oh, God, this is bad news.
Dean, we need to know what was in that report.
What good is it going to do now?
What do you care what damage these people you work for are doing in the world?
You don't even know they're doing any damage.
Which is why we need to find the report.
Well, look. I'll do my best. I can't make any promises. Can we talk about us now, please?
To be perfectly honest, I don't see the point.
I thought we had a deal.
The deal was, you help me,
Then we talk.
Where are you going?
Oh, yes. There was one other thing.
Come on, sit down again.
How's your new car?
Not bad.
What colour is it?
Black.
What's the registration?
Laura, why the hell
are you... Just so I can wave if I see you in the street.
S437PLD.
PLD, not PLO.
No, not PLO. Would you mind telling me what the hell this is all about?
I told you, if I see you in the street, I'd like to wave.
Oh, you're crazy.
I'll make some other suitable gesture.
Goodbye. Come, Laura, come back here.
No way.
Laura, wait.
You wait, you son of a bitch. S437PLD. It's got to be, hasn't it? I can hardly believe it. The man I've shared my life with for six, nearly 7 years. I can't believe this is happening to me.
I just can't believe it, Alice. You didn't confront him, though.
Oh, you think I'm crazy?
You know what this means?
It means I've just spent 7 years of my life with a loser.
It means you just spent 7 years of your life with a dangerous man.
It means he's better at poker than you thought.
What do you mean?
What's his job at Arcadian?
Well, he's in PR.
So he must know about that report.
I suppose so.
Stone's talked to Houghton. Who's Houghton going to talk to?
I don't know. Lydia.
Exactly.
And Lydia's Dean's boss.
Don't you think it's a bit odd he's arrived back here all of a sudden?
Oh, my God.
Oh, you poor love. My shame for what he's done to you.
It's not that. It's not that at all.
What is it?
Well, if he knows about this report, why wouldn't he get it for me, even in exchange for something he wanted?
Says he wanted.
Because they're desperate that we don't see it.
Which means it must be incriminating.
No. But I've told him. I've told him.
What have you told him?
I told... What did I tell him? I told him about Tom.
What about Tom?
I told him Tom works at East Coast Textiles. I told him there must be a report at the plant.
He must know there's a report at the plant.
Well, of course he must, but what will he do when he knows that we're aiming to get it through Tom?
Try and stop us.
Tom?
Oh, hello, love.
How are you feeling?
Like a murder some coffee.
Well, there's some in the pot. Sit down.
Oh, I must say, it's hard to get any sleep in this house.
We got a bit carried away.
We could hear you in Yarmouth.
What did we think?
Alex is right.
Tom and I had a talk last night.
This morning?
When he got home.
What they done to us is unforgivable. Beginning to end of it. And it's time we took control back over our lives.
So you do it then?
Do what?
Find a report for us.
It won't work now.
It's got to work.
Like Laura says, this Dean character, now he knows who I am, won't let me know when he hears it.
So, what are you saying?
I got another plan.
Come on, let's hear it.
I'm on nights again tonight.
You know I gotta take Sophie to the hospital any minute.
Yeah, that's fine. You drop me off early on your way to the hospital. Alex and Laura can come over later.
Come where?
What time?
About 8:30, I reckon. Only don't come round the main gate, go round the back. There's a small gate in the fence leads onto that waste ground.
Will it be locked?
Oh, yeah. Only I'll be there to let you in. I can show you where to keep the files and stuff. You have a good 7 hours before you're disturbed. You make notes, photocopies, whatever. They won't even know you've been there.
This could work. It could work.
8:30 then.
We'll be there.
We were there.
What time is it?
8:45.
We were there from 8 o'clock. Not doing much. Just talking.
The way I see it, there are no happy endings.
Alex. What a horrible thing to say.
It's not so horrible once you get used to the idea.
But it isn't true. I mean, I know you lost your wife and that must have been awful, but it doesn't always happen like that. You'll be happy again. One day.
Of course I will. I'm not saying there's no happiness. I'm saying there's no happy endings. I'm saying every time you open your heart to someone, you're inviting an inevitable loss. A guaranteed sorrow.
Who says it's inevitable?
Laws of nature do. Sooner or later, things come to an end. It's only a question of how and when. Suddenly and prematurely, like mine did with Maddie. Distressingly and messily, like yours has with Dean.
And what about people who fall in love and stay in love and care for each other for the rest of their lives?
One of you always dies first.
Oh. God.
Where love is concerned, there are no happy endings.
And you say it's possible to get used to such a horrible idea.
If it's an ending, it can't be happy. And if it's happy, then it ain't an ending.
Right now, I'm happy.
Then it ain't an ending.
The whole thing happened so quickly after that.
What time is it?
8:45.
Go round that way. See if you can't see him.
A part of me wasn't surprised that Tom had let us down. I couldn't get used to him not being angry.
Alex!
What?
I can't see him anywhere.
He ain't gonna come.
And a part of me didn't even mind that Tom hadn't showed. The closeness of Alex was beginning to make me tremble again. I could think of other places I'd rather be.
What are you doing?
Cutting the wire.
Yes, you can't do that.
Why not?
One is against the law for a start.
Oh, well. You know what they say? Laws were meant to be broad.
What could I have said? What should I have said? I should have tried harder to stop him. That much is clear.
Alex, I'm frightened.
Don't be frightened.
I've only just got to know you. I don't want to spend the next 5 years visiting you in jail.
You won't. I promise. I'll be out before anyone knows I'm in there.
I sat there in the cold for what seemed an age, hoping at any moment for some lights to come on and for Tom and Alex to come out laughing.
Come on, Alex. For goodness sake.
I was almost on the point of following him in when there was a noise in the undergrowth behind me. For a moment, I froze. Then I heard Mark's voice.
Come on, Six. Come on, boy.
Doing here?
Emergency rescue.
Oh, I need it.
Not for you.
What for?
Where's Dad?
Inside.
Oh, shush, boy. Be quiet. Which way is he going?
Through this hole and then through the window. Mark, what's going on?
They sent Tom home for compassionate reasons.
And that's why he didn't shout.
The only thing is...
What are you doing?
I'm going in to get him.
You shouldn't go in there.
We have to, Laura. We got no choice.
He'll come in a minute. Why don't we just wait?
When no one's on duty, they let the guard dogs loose. My dad's in there. Come on, Six. Come on, boy.
Mark, wait. Don't go in there. Wait for me.
It's like at certain times your view of the world breaks up. And mine broke up at that moment. I had no idea of the order of things, or how they fit together. Was it the sirens I heard first, or was it the dogs? Did we get to the door before it opened, or were we still only halfway across the yard when Alex came staggering out?
Laura! Laura!
With one dog hanging on his arm and the other one snapping at his thigh. Did Mark really send Sticks in to even up the fight? Or did the poor dog join it of his own free will? Was Alex still conscious when Mark and I dragged him through the wire? Or had he already left for a place where the dogs couldn't reach him?
Listen, if you wouldn't mind, the best thing you can do for him now is let us look after him.
And how long was it before Styx's brave yelps had faded to an awful silence? God alone knows why the small and the innocent are sentenced to suffer so much. I don't.